O Christ, the prophets foretold your coming. The poor longed to see you. The heavens celebrated your birth. The apostles, the martyrs, and the faithful down through the ages repeated the song of the angels. Your church praises you in every human language, for she has seen your salvation. Son of God, you humbled yourself and became a servant, raising us up to share in your glory. We were in darkness, and you have given us light and strength, peace and joy. Lead us according to your loving will. Make us a people who follow you in holiness. Give us generous hearts to hear your word and produce in us abundant fruit through the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the New Testament, the book of Luke. You can follow along or on the screens. It's on page 1591 in your pew Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what were your resolutions for the new year? Anyone make any resolutions? No? Really? I can remember growing up, this was like the big thing for the older adults in my family to do. I remember growing up, we would go to my great aunt and uncle's house in Des Moines, which was about a 3-hour long drive. And I was allowed to stay up until the ball dropped in New York, which was at 11 o'clock Iowa time, which is really, really late in case you didn't know. So I remember, though, that before we would watch the ball drop, they would pull out one of those big video cameras that had the big VHS tapes. You remember those things? And they would videotape each other making New Year's resolutions. And then I don't know what they ever did with the tapes. I would imagine they probably burned them or something because, well, you know how New Year's resolutions go. If you go to the gym tomorrow or later on today, it's going to be packed. There are not going to be any treadmills, you know, the weight machines are, you know, all the classes are going to be full. But wait until February 1st, and you'll be able to take your pick. Because we set out to do all kinds of new things in a new year. And we think that we're going to actually be able to do them, right? I think Pastor Tom preached about this a few weeks ago, right? The most often requested or called for resolution. Do you remember what it was?
No, I don't.
Well, what would you think it would be? Weight loss, right? Yeah, that's what you all said a couple of months ago, too. So, that's right, weight loss. And so, that requires an entire lifestyle change, though. It's not simply, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, just for this week, you know, not eat at McDonald's or Wendy's or whatever the case might be, but then go back. You know, it takes a much larger lifestyle kind of change. It's the kind of change that means doing something completely different. And those are not easy things to do. They require some accountability. They require someone else to walk alongside with us a lot of times in order for those things to come about. I wonder sometimes what God's New Year's resolutions are. Is that something that you ever wonder about? Maybe you've never thought about that before. We often think about what are we going to do differently in the new year. But have we ever stopped to ask, what does God have in store for a new year? What does God want to do in 2017? Maybe there's something that you are really yearning for. Maybe there's something that you really hope that God will accomplish through you, in your community, in your family, in our church. Our story this morning revolved around two prophets. We'll call them prophets because the Holy Spirit had spoken to them and told them that they would not die before God's promises would be fulfilled. We spent the entire fall, by the way, if you remember, talking about all of those promises that God made, right? So let's recap just really quickly. We had Abraham, who was promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the shore. This promise came to him, by the way, when he and his wife were well into their 90s and didn't have any children of their own. And yet, their eventual son, Isaac, is named Laughter because of the ludicrous idea that someone in their 90s was going to have a baby for the first time. Or think about King David, who wanted desperately to build a temple for God, but God instead promised that he would build David a house, a dynasty, a legacy. Descendants who would always sit on the throne of Israel. This promise that extended on. Or the promises that we read from the kings and the prophets, in which the people who had been carried off into exile would be given a new covenant, that no matter what they did, no matter who they were, God would return to them, that God would rescue them, that God would send someone to be their redeemer. And so Anna and Simeon were whispered to by the Holy Spirit that those promises would be fulfilled in their lifetimes. And so here we have Simeon, who miraculously, coincidentally, not according to Luke, driven by the Holy Spirit, is in the temple on the exact day that Jesus is presented for his naming and his circumcision. It's on that day that he's given the name Jesus, which means, anyone remember? Jesus means God saves. Because he will save the people from their sins. That's what the angel told Mary. And so they give him the name Jesus. And here Simeon comes along and he picks up this child. Now just imagine with me for a moment that it's your child's baptism Sunday and that your family was gathered around the font, pastor baptizing the child, when suddenly a person that you didn't know walked stridently up the aisle and grabbed the child and raised it up and began singing a song. What would you do? It's a good thing you didn't hear what Mike had to say just then. It's one of those outlandish things. And what is Simeon's song? Lord, you fulfilled your promises, and now I can die in peace. And now I can die in peace. My life's waiting has finally been accomplished. Simeon doesn't see Jesus grow up. He doesn't see Jesus or hear him teach things. He doesn't see him perform miracles. He doesn't see him suffer and die on a cross. He isn't there to witness the resurrection or the ascension. The promise is enough. The promise is fulfilled in this little child, and Simeon says, now I can die at peace. God's promises fulfilled. And then we have Anna, who is a widow. And really what we're told about her is that she's married, and then 7 years later, her husband dies. And then, depending on how it gets translated, she either is a widow there in the temple until she's 84, or for the next 84 years. Imagine waiting 84 years for something. Almost harkens back to Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? This notion that God would promise this to her and that she would sit there and wait patiently, night and day, praying, fasting for God's promises to be fulfilled. And finally, all of that waiting and all of that patience pays off in this child, Jesus. And she, along with Simeon, gives thanks to God in the presence of the Holy Spirit for what this child will mean for the people of Israel and for the whole world. Again, Anna is someone who probably would not live to see all of these things fulfilled. And yet, here she is celebrating the possibility, the promise of the new things that God was going to be doing through Jesus, told them by the Holy Spirit. And so it is in this image that we see portrayed in art here. We see this image of that prophecy from Joel. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This promise of Jesus is not just for the young. It's not just for the old. And it's not just for those who are in between. It's for everyone. And through the Holy Spirit, God is using everyone to bring this message forward. And so we gather together this morning on the cusp of a new year, with a natural gift from the calendar of thinking about what the future is going to hold. So what are we hoping that God is going to do ahead of us, over us, in us, through us, in this new year? What promises has God made to us that if we only wait patiently, fast, pray, and seek after God's will, that God will reveal to us? It's a good thing for us to make new resolutions in a new year. It's a good thing for us to want to be better people, to be healthier, to be more connected with one another, to be more studious, to be more industrious. All of those things are good things. But let's take a few moments now in silence to pray and meditate on what things God is going to do through us and in us in this new year. The next few moments are yours. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the many people who were involved in raising him, in calling attention to who he was and who he was going to be and who he continues to be. We pray that you would set our imaginations free to envision what you have in store for us in this new year. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our guide, O Lord. Guiding us in all of the ways that you seek to bring renewal, forgiveness, salvation. And Lord, set us free from our sin, that we might live in peace, proclaiming peace to your world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, you stand with me now as we profess our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.